My name's Barnaby Wright. I'm the Daniel Katz Curator of 20th Century Art at the Courtauld Gallery. There's increased interest over the last few years in other forms of artistic practice, including a renewed interest in spirit art, mediumistic art, artists who believed that they were producing work with their hand guided by the spirits. Georgiana Houghton was one of the very first of these spirit artists. A few scholars have been interested in her work over recent years, and it was brought to our attention. We felt above all that its quality was just astonishing, that these were incredibly well put together watercolours, and that they were fascinating precursors to 20th century art, and it felt high time they were appreciated by a broader public.
My name's Ernst Wegelin. I'm the head of the Courtauld Gallery. The exhibition she organised was in 1871 in a gallery that she rented for the purposes in Bond Street, and she employed a gallery manager to help her prepare for the exhibition, but she did most of the work herself. She showed 155 of her spirit drawings, these extraordinary abstract works, and showed them for 4 months. Produced a very handsome catalogue to go with the show, including a special sort of luxury edition of the catalogue for Queen Victoria, whom she hoped might come and visit the exhibition, and also the Emperor of France. And she was in attendance most days from just after 10 o'clock in the morning to 5:30 in the afternoon, and would approach people to help them understand what these very extraordinary things were about.
Do we know whether Queen Victoria actually attended the exhibition?
I'm pretty sure that she didn't. We do know that she was interested in sort of mediumistic practices and seances and so on, but I think, yes, Georgiana Houghton may have been slightly misguided in the expectation that that the Queen would have visited a gallery on Old Bond Street like that. So no, that in that sense, her expectations were disappointed.
I think it was a News of the World critic compared one of her paintings to a Turner.
Yes.
I mean, what do you make of that?
That is fascinating. How do you find the sort of critical language to describe abstraction in a period, you know, before abstraction exists? And so they are trying to sort of search for comparatives, both in the art world and outside, to provide sort of a pointer for their reading public. So the News of the World critic says that these works are like late Turners over which a troop of fairies have skipped, dropping jewels as they went, which I think is actually rather sort of beautiful and evocative. Other people say they are like sort of wings of dragonflies refracted through a looking glass, or tangled sort of balls of threads of woolen thread, and so on. So that is really fascinating. I think a number of the critics, I think, pretty much dismiss it out of hand and say this is abhorrent, it's absurd, it's, you know, not worthy of comment. But actually, a significant proportion just recognise the very high quality of the work itself and are gripped by that and feel sort of compelled to engage with it and to respond to it.
Although we look now at seances and spiritualism with a very critical eye, and we imagine it to be certain amount of hokum, perhaps.
Yeah.
It was a popular thing in the Victorian era, and many prominent people took part.
Yeah.
So Queen Victoria and Prince Albert, later on Kandinsky. Yeah. So it wasn't totally a crazy idea to talk to the spirits.
Not at all crazy, in fact. I think, yes, large parts of the population were gripped by this notion that actually one could sort of communicate with the spirits of the dead. And so it wasn't just a very niche thing, and it wasn't just for a particular sort of strata of society. I mean, you also had sort of people approaching it from a more scientific perspective and trying really to understand whether this held up to sort of close scrutiny. And it continued to be popular in the decades after its sort of high point, and there were particular moments of revival, for example, after the First World War, when so many young people had had lost their lives and their families were sort of looking for a way to come to terms with that. And people like Arthur Conan Doyle, for example, are very much part of that sort of ongoing history of spiritualism. So it's not at all a sort of little, you know, crackpot sort of niche activity.
That's quite interesting as well, because you've mentioned a sort of a collaboration between Houghton and any number of archangels that he's written about on the back of her works. Could you talk a little bit about her sort of communing, her collaboration with the spirits as she would have seen it, and also the reverse of some of the works?
All of the spirit drawings that she made, she claimed and believed deeply that they were produced through her hand, being guided by perhaps an individual spirit in the spirit realm, or sometimes a group of spirits in the spirit realm. So she would commune with them as part of a seance, and then produce the drawings as she was in communion with them. She very occasionally had guests present during one of these sessions, and it's recorded that she was able to hold a conversation with her guest whilst at her side, using her brush and watercolours to produce these drawings. And for her, that was proof of the authenticity of her practice, that it wasn't her conscious mind guiding her hand, it was the spirit guide. But there is also this sense of collaboration, that she's not just a vehicle, but that the spirits are attracted to her because she had this artistic training anyway, and her hand had a fairly high degree of skill. So it does seem that she left room in her thinking for it to be a sort of collaboration. Sometimes these people were just sort of regular individuals, I mean the deceased. So her early spirit guide is somebody called Henry Lenny, who is described as being a deceased artist, a deaf and dumb artist apparently. And he guides her hand for the first part of her work on spirit drawings, but then later she comes across famous artists. So she comes across Titian and Correggio and the former president of the Royal Academy, Thomas Lawrence, who also play a strong role in her work. And one imagines that in some of the drawings that are not known to us today, there may well have been other famous artists who she communed with. And then sometimes she communes with sort of higher angelic beings. So she communes with a whole sort of army of archangels, typically seven at a time. So there is this sort of group practice, as it were, that guides her hand.
When she's talking about Correggio, does a slightly cynical part of your brain go, well, that's great marketing?
I suppose one could look at it that way. I just think everything one reads about her and learns about her, it becomes clear that her religious faith and her belief in the art that she was producing sort of was not cynical or a marketing ploy in any sense. I think she believed in what she was doing passionately, and that she believed she was producing a new form of religious art that she wanted to share with the world. So I don't sort of have that cynical take on her, I have to say. It's worth mentioning that we know about all of the details of who guided her hand and the sort of meaning that she ascribed to the works, because on the back of all of her drawings are these detailed inscriptions which give accounts of the process of the production of the works, and sometimes even have small illustrations on the back that relate to what's on the front, so that one can identify what she's talking about. And when I say what she's talking about, those writings are themselves the voice of the spirit guide who has who's guided her for the drawing. So it's what we would say in the 20th century, it was a sort of automatic writing, as it were, on the back.
How much do you think her gender impeded her progress as an artist, or do you think it's more that she was incredibly ahead of her time?
I think the type of art she was producing was really kind of pioneering, very unconventional and unusual. So regardless of her gender, I think she had a real challenge on her hands in making this type of what to our eyes is completely abstract art, part of the mainstream Victorian art world. Having said that, I think spiritualism itself gave opportunities for women practitioners to develop their practice and to move within and develop within the various spiritualist associations. So it had a sort of liberating quality, and I think that in itself emboldened Houghton to move forward as an artist.
How is it possible that she can be guided entirely by the spirit world, yet produce works with certain formal concerns?
I think the notion of a partnership is quite an interesting one. So it is clear from what she writes later on that she feels that the spirits chose her because she had particular abilities. So it wasn't just a random choice that you or I could have done these things. So they picked her because of her skill and her ability, therefore, to translate into visual form the ideas that that they are sort of working through with her. So there is a sense of a collaboration. The other thing that's very interesting is that she says artists are more sort of authentic and successful if they sort of abstract themselves out of the creative process. That is really an idea significantly ahead of its time, this idea of sort of liberating the creativity of the subconscious. And so it's that process of taking herself out of the equation that I think allows her to produce abstract art 50 years ahead of its time.
There's just one piece that stands out from the rest. I mean, she starts off actually with more botanical themes, more obviously figurative themes, and she gets more abstract as she goes along. But at one point, she actually has a face in her later work of Christ. Can you tell me a little bit about that work and who she communed with to produce it?
So the basic development of her work is indeed from something that looks quite botanical and representational of flowers and so on into this abstract realm. And that is a move that she talks about as being a move made as she grows greater. She has greater knowledge and sensitivity to the spirit realm. She says she's too earthbound, too within the realm of representation early on, and then the spirit realm is one of seemingly of greater abstraction. But as you mentioned, there is this one work called The Portrait of Christ, which has, like an apparition, the face of Christ put upon this field of abstract forms. It's the only one we know of. It's very surprising, and we couldn't make sense of why she had made this drawing in this particular way until we looked at the back and realised that her spirit guide was Saint Luke. And Saint Luke is, in Christian tradition, the first icon painter. He's supposed to have painted the Virgin and Child from life and produced a begun really the tradition of religious icon painting. And so it seems entirely logical that in communion with St. Luke, he would feel the need to produce one of his icon paintings, as well as communicating this sort of abstract spirit language. And I think that's the answer. It's an unusual work, but it's interesting to note that most other spirit artists at that time, and there weren't many of them, Houghton was pioneering, but most of them did have figurative elements in their work, and it's what throws Houghton's work into relief in that she typically didn't do that. She sort of forged her own path.
What do you think Georgiana would have made of this exhibition?
I suspect she would have been thrilled that her work was being seen again after all of these years. It's a feature of her, I think, her character, and certainly as she expresses herself in her writings, that she wanted her art to be shared and enjoyed and understood by as broad a public as possible. And she hoped that in turn her art would inspire others to take up the practice of spirit drawing and would take forward her Christian faith. So I think in all of those ways, the fact that her work is here being appreciated and reconsidered, she would have entirely endorsed and maybe made up in some degree for the sort of commercial failure of her earlier project.